Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this beautiful hour known as the 4 o'clock hour, we will get to hear from Bad Tiki in his normal paid-for spot. We do pay him a lot of money, that's what I've heard. So Bad Tiki will join us in about 23 minutes. Plus, Saquon Barkley continues to haunt Giant fans, but we have what I like to call sort of breaking news. And by sort of, I mean it's newsy. It's definitely worth talking about. I don't know if it's glass worthy. I don't know if the glass should shatter for this kind of news. But it's a New York Post exclusive. And I commend Sean Morash because he gave it to us even before the Mets text chat. And you know the Mets text chat, which is already talking about it. They are
on everything?
They're on everything, and they're also in private rooms right now because the New York Mets have secured the first meeting with Juan Soto. With it appearing more and more that the free agent slugger is a priority for the team this offseason, according to Mike Puma, Mets owner Steve Cohen plans to travel to Southern California next week to meet with Soto and his agent, Scott Boras, according to industry sources. Several other owners are expected to meet with Boras and Soto in the coming weeks. It is unclear if that includes Hal Steinbrenner.
What do you mean unclear?
Yankees GM Brian Cashman recently said it's possible Soto's familiarity with the organization from last year might preclude a meeting.
Only thing that matters is the money.
I know. The meeting part. Like, look, I know that Scott said recently that ownership and a commitment to winning and things like that matter, but it's going to come down to the money. It's going to come down to...
And the Yankees have all of that anyways. I mean, last year or 2 years ago was the last time they had made the playoffs. So what, 15 years or something? They're committed to winning.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
You don't have to worry about that with the Yankees. So to me, from a Yankee fan standpoint, this means nothing. Have fun.
That
have
the
fun.
Mets are getting the
have
first
fun,
meeting?
Steve. Go take your private plane and go, you know, have a little latte or whatever the heck
it is. You can't say it means nothing. I mean, they're getting first crack.
I'm just being from a Yankee fan perspective.
No, I know, but you can be, from a Yankee fan perspective, say I'm a little worried.
But here's the reality. Is Juan Soto going to take the very first offer he gets?
No, but he may remember the first pitch the most.
What?
Yeah. That first impressionable pitch that one gets.
Okay.
I agree with you. It's going to come down to the money. Actually, I have something for you.
Go ahead.
I think this is going to actually click with you. I just sent audio to Tommy Lugauer. He's going to play it for you in the next minute or so. But I think Tiki Barber is going to be the one to really kind of feel this. And you had a good relationship with Wellington Mara.
I did.
Did that... I know you never...
As well as Bob Tisch.
As well as
both,
okay.
Both my owners.
Both owners, right. You never got to true blue free agency.
Yeah. I mean, I was free.
What year was that again?
Right after we went to the Super Bowl. In 2001, I was a free agent.
Did you meet with other teams?
No. I didn't want to meet with other teams.
I love how he's disgusted by the question. If you were a true free agent, you never met with another team?
I had zero desire to play anywhere else.
Now, a lot of that is New York, the organization, all that?
Yes.
How much of that, this is going to lead somewhere, I promise you, that's going to relate to Soto. How much of that was the relationship that you had with Mr. Tisch and Mr. Mara?
A lot of it, but not all of it. I think most of it was I just loved the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see myself playing anywhere else. I didn't want to live in another city. I wanted to be a New Yorker. And so I lived in the city. I was
right.
On the Upper East Side. And so I loved being here. And to me, it wasn't the money was, I knew I wasn't getting anything profound anywhere else, right? Because I've always said this, and Derrick Henry might be the one that takes me off of this quote that I've used for decades. Nobody loves you like your mama. The team that drafts you loves you the best, and they know you the best. They've recruited you from when you were 20 or 21 years old, and they bring you into the organization. You will get more of the benefit of the doubt with them than you will with anyone, any other team.
Right.
Right? And so I knew that coming off my very first decent season, it wasn't a great season. I rushed for 1,000 yards. We went to the Super Bowl, but it wasn't like I was a superstar. I wasn't making Pro Bowls and All Pros and things of that nature. But the team that appreciated me most was the Giants, and I knew it. No other team would appreciate me more than the Giants did.
Right.
And again, Derrick Henry is proving that incorrect.
Right.
Because the Ravens probably appreciate him a lot more than the Tennessee Titans did.
They win the Super Bowl, man. Right. I'll tell you.
I don't know, disrespected him at the end and said, see ya, thinking he was washed at 30, and now he's going to rush for 1,800 yards in this season and probably score 20 touchdowns. It was the owners, but it was more that organization knew me better than anybody.
Of course. And look, I'm not ever suggesting or believing that the owner was going to be the main reason, but it helps. I want to play something for you.
It helps if you have the relationship.
Okay, great. I want to play something for you. So David Stearns has met the media 3 straight days, and I have been listening to everything he has to say, including there'll be a special Rico coming up over the weekend in which we respond to everything David Stearns had to say. Now, we're not going to do that here because it's a lot of stuff, but there's certain gems or certain things you hear that just jump out at you. David Stearns said something about Steve Cohen that I'd like to play for you and tell me if this could impact their pursuit in a positive way of Juan Soto. Here is David Stearns talking about Steve Cohen, the owner.
Back end, how much of an asset is Steve in that regard and being a guy who is out front with that type of stuff?
I think Steve's investment in our team is clear and his desire to win is clear. And he's been able to forge some really good relationships with players over the early part of his ownership tenure here, and I think that is a huge benefit for our club. He wants to do that. He wants to understand who our players are, what makes them tick, what is important to them, so that we can do everything we can to put them and their families in the best position to succeed. And so Steve has already demonstrated that throughout his ownership tenure here, and I think he'll continue to demonstrate that.
So taking players to dinner, which I've heard.
Yep.
Having players over his house with his family. I've heard that with Lindor and others.
Mm-hmm.
Text chats with his players. This is something Steve Cohen does.
Yeah.
Do you think,
of course,
when he says this to Juan Soto and explains it and Lindor's on the phone and says, look, I'm going to pay you a lot of money, and obviously that's the end all be all, we all know that, but do you think that human touch that Steve has that I don't think a lot of other owners have?
It can't hurt. It's one of every business that I think any person is ever in. It's about the people, right? It's about the relationships and the business and the trust that exists between, in this case, owner and player, right? So the relationship matters. In fact, I said this in the documentary. If you haven't seen it yet, you should. Duke, Wellington Mara's Giant Life of Wellington Mara. It's one of the things I talk about because of how important his relationships were, Wellington Mara's, with all of his players, including LT and all these guys that you know, Phil, etc. And Steve Cohen, I think, lives by that same kind of mantra.
He's trying to do that.
The question is, does Juan Soto care?
That's the of course.
And that's what I don't know.
That but I guess
some players they don't necessarily care.
Look, I think
Juan Soto will. I'm not saying he doesn't, but right. I don't know.
Look, I think ultimately we all agree it's going to come down to the money. But when Scott Boras said ownership matters, ownership's commitment to winning matters, money has a lot to do with it, but I do think that personal touch, and that's why getting that first meeting does matter.
Yeah.
It's not the end-all be-all, but if you can show that, that can't hurt.
But to me, the relationship won't matter until he's a member of the team.
But don't you think seeing the relationship he has with other players could maybe help?
Yeah, but how's Juan Soto going to see that?
I don't know.
How's he going to experience that?
That's on Steve Cohen's show. I'll tell you how he could do it. When Steve sits down, here's what you do. Someone's got to get this to the Mets. Here's what happens. So Steve sits down. You're Francisco. You're Juan Soto.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Juan, great to see you. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I know I just sat down. I'm getting a FaceTime from Francisco. Hold on one second. What's up, Francisco?
Oh, your daughter's birthday? Oh, this is great. Did you guys get the toys I sent? You did. That's awesome, man. So when are you and the missus coming over? Yeah. No, Tuesday works great. Oh, I'm just chilling with Juan Soto. Hey, Juan, you want to say hi to Francisco? Yeah, that's his daughter. She's running around. Isn't she adorable?
That's great. And then Francisco can go, hey, Juan, listen, I never hit in April, so getting you here will help the Mets win those games.
That's where you're going with that?
Nice troll.
Thank you.
Nice troll attempt.
But that's what I would do. I would like set up a fake FaceTime call.
Yeah, but it might feel set up.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But maybe it's not. Maybe Steve does FaceTime with Francisco and talk about birthday parties.
I'm sure he does, but I don't know. I mean,
but that's how you show him. You ask me, how do you show Juan Soto? That's how you show Juan Soto.
God, relationships are so hard to just prescribe. You're right. All right, here's how you're going to get them. You're going to manufacture this relationship, and it's going to be all, you know, hunky-dory. He's like, it's so hard to do that.
I'm sorry, Juan. I got another call. It's Brandon Nimmo's family. B-Nibs, what's up, man? Oh, you're bowling? Dude, we should go bowling next Friday.
See? This is what I would do.
This is what I would do. Is it really that lame? You like that, Sean. You're jealous.
I was jealous with the Lindor. When you start getting a Nimmo.
Yeah.
Nimmo's not exactly, you know, drawn
Who represents Brandon Nimmo?
Great. Scott Boras.
I mean, look, it's going to matter. I'm sure he'll get the anecdotal evidence or, you know, stories from players. It's not like this is a just an owner recruiting Juan Soto. I'm sure players are going to be reaching out saying, hey, come here. This place is great because of XYZ.
You got to know the player very well. I've always heard this story in the NBA, and I like to repeat it because it's interesting to me. LaMarcus Aldridge in the prime of his career. Prime LaMarcus Aldridge, not, you know, he's the end of his career with the Nets.
Yeah, yeah.
But prime LaMarcus Aldridge was a free agent, and he went on a free agent tour. Maybe Juan Soto's having one of these where everyone's coming to him to kind of make the pitch, and the Mets are the first ones. So LaMarcus Aldridge does his tour. And he goes to meet the L.A. Lakers, and rumor has it they played like a video with all the celebrities and Hollywood and movie sets and the glitz and the glamour and everything. And then he goes to meet with the San Antonio Spurs, and all Pop does is say, all right, here are the X's and O's. I'm going to use you at the four. I'm going to do this. We're going to run these kinds of pick and rolls and that, that, that. And LaMarcus is like, I got to go to the Spurs.
Right.
Like, they spoke to my heart. I just want to play basketball.
All right.
Like, what's up with this whole glamour stuff?
I don't care about these people who only care about me because I'm a Laker.
Right. Now, certain athletes may be different. Like, so in Juan Soto's case.
Yeah, because they're star effers.
Correct.
Right.
I don't know.
A lot of athletes are, by the way.
Right. Like, Juan may be intrigued by, and I'm not even saying this is true, but you don't know. Juan may be intrigued by showing him a fake Juan Soto statue next to Tom Seaver and saying, let me explain something. You become a legend. You'll never be a legend with the Yankees because they already have a ton of legends.
He's like, I don't want to be a legend. I want to be a billionaire.
Correct. To him, he may not matter.
I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like this is going to be.
So then this whole conversation of meeting with him, just give money. It doesn't need to be a meeting.
I think it'll be nice if he has a relationship with his owner. But like, I didn't develop a relationship with Wellington Mara in year one.
Right.
I didn't develop a relationship with Bob Tisch to the point where we were at his house when he was, you know, and I'll never forget this story. I think I told you this story. Like, when he was really sick, right before he passed away, I took AJ over there, who's now 22, and he was like rolling a giant pool cue ball. He was just like rolling on the floor, running around with my 2-year-old. Like, he's chasing after it, and then AJ's chasing after it. And I'm like, this is Bob Tisch, right?
Right.
It's like one of the great men of this city. And he's rolling pool balls with my kid, right? So, like, that relationship doesn't happen just because, hey, you signed a contract, you come be here. That happens because there's an actual relationship. There's actual effort.
And that's not going to happen until he's a member of whatever organization he's a member of.
Yeah, the relationship doesn't have it open overnight. It's more showing you right. that this is what I do or what I try to do with my players.
Yes.
Like, I heard so many rumors when DeGrom left, and some of them are probably BS, but I'll repeat one now because I think it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
One of the things I heard is that DeGrom really didn't want to go over for dinner. Mm-hmm. And he just wasn't that interested.
Right. Now, and some guys are that way, by the way.
And that's okay.
They're just very, guarded.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, if the architect invited me over for dinner, I'd be like, no thanks, I'm good.
I'm a loser.
Like, I'm not interested. Me and my wife are going to order a pizza tonight.
What if I come over for dinner?
I'd say yes.
But you wouldn't want to?
No, I'm just kidding. I would say, I'd be like, great, let's have a good time. But if that was a turnoff
Your
to the Mets?
Your might be traumatized by my girls.
Why would they be traumatized?
Brooklyn and Tegan are crazy.
Oh, yeah, but Jet and Spence, they're freaking crazy, too.
I think your girls may be traumatized by them. He sat here. He was chill four and a half hours.
He was very calm.
Brooklyn would have been taking Gallo down to the grocery store and bought a smoothie and doing backflips on the field over there. Brooklyn can't just sit still for 30 minutes, much less 5 hours.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's true. Probably teach them a lot of life lessons, at least, while they're
Brooklyn
there.
Brooklyn wants to come to the studio here because she wants to hang out with Gallo.
Really? Gallo, yes. Is that fun to her?
Well, no. He takes her wherever she wants to go.
That's a good time.
I'm hungry. Okay, let's go get some lunch.
Gallo listens very, very well. I got to hand it to him. Dan is in Garwood, New Jersey. How are you, Dan?
Hey, Evan. Teach me what's going on, fellas.
All's good, dude.
You caught me right in the middle of Taco Bell here.
Nice. What are we doing? What are we eating at Taco Bell? Give us a little menu option.
I had a burrito with potatoes and some kind of chicken, something else, and I had something that was on their new menu. I don't know what they made, what the heck it was, to be honest with you.
No. Nobody goes to Taco Bell and doesn't know what they got, just goes something on the new menu. You go with a plan.
I'll tell you what the plan is. In a few hours, you have a lot of gas. That's his plan. What's this going to happen?
Yeah, well, the plan was I was on hold for an hour and 10 minutes. I got bored.
sorry about that. That's why we got to you now. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, you guys are great. That's why everybody wants to get on. So here's the thing, Evan. First of all, I want to make a quick point about Juan Soto. But first, here's the way anybody signs him, and especially the Mets. And I think you guys are going to get him as a Yankee fan. But here's the deal. Steve Cohen sits down with Juan Soto. He takes him out to the Peter Luger's or wherever the heck he's going to take him to, probably someplace even more fancy that we don't even know exists in some bat cave somewhere. And he says, listen, Juan, here's the deal. We want you. Here's how much we want you. Go ahead, go on your tour, meet with everybody else, come back, and I'll go $20 million total above whatever they give you.
Right.
That's how it's going to get done.
And by the way, we're
going to go above it. That's how much we want you. Go meet with everybody else. We met with you first. Come back, and whatever they're offering, whoever your top offer is, we'll beat it.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go. Now, as a Yankee fan, and the Yankee fans are getting mad at me left and right, and I guess Evan is a non-Yankee fan, but, you know, saying that the Yankees have to sign him, I don't see a realistic way where the Yankees can sign him. And the reason why I say this is not to say anything bad against Soto, although I think there is listen, the guy is incredible. As a hitter, like watching him all year, watching him stare down pitchers, wanting to go against the best, like there's nothing you can say negative against the guy as far as his hitting goes. I mean, he's definitely, you know, an average right fielder. He's probably going to be a DH. Right. The problem is the Yankees are overloaded with outfielders. We're overloaded with DHs. We have Stanton signed until St. Smitten's Day. We have Aaron Judge, whatever Stanton does read the Sopranos reference. Yeah. Whatever Stanton does finally, you know, retire or leave or his contract expires, eventually Judge is going to be your DH.
Hold on. Can I tell you why I disagree with that? For a myriad of reasons. Number one, Aaron Judge is still a very good outfielder.
Yeah. And I don't think he wants to not play the outfield.
No, I think as long as he physically can, Aaron Judge wants to be a position player.
Yes.
And preferably be an outfielder.
Right, and he's been taking spring training reps at first base.
So
eventually, that's where he's headed.
And I think that's the move that you eventually make. And what I would do with that is maybe not make it a full-time move immediately, but I would have him start doing that this year.
Yeah, especially with Rizzo. You declined Rizzo, so maybe he comes. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen with first base, but give him, like, actual reps.
Yeah. Like, you can make first base a roving position, if you will, where there may not be the one dominant guy there every day like Pete Alonso or even Christian Walker. So, number one, Judge is still a very good outfielder. And I do think that first base should become a part of the equation. Number two, Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton is not going to be here forever, even though it feels like he's here forever. In fact, he's got three more years left on his deal. Mm. It's not forever. And Juan Soto at 26, 27, and 28 is not a DH.
No.
So what's the worry?
Right. You're not. There's no blockage.
It's ridiculous to even. I actually think it's even ridiculous to bring it up because it's like Stanton's not here in 2028, 2029, and 2030. And that's when you're going to start to at least think about maybe I'm DHing him.
I think Juan Soto, 8 years, 34, that's when he becomes maybe the DH.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so there's two ways.
Maybe 7 years.
There's two ways you can look at that. If you don't have a DH at all, and you're treating that position like a roving position, which the Yankees aren't doing because of Stanton right now. And by the way, they should still keep him because he's still a very productive baseball player. Like I've been saying every year, sometimes it's tougher to make that argument. I feel like I'm in a better position to make that argument now. But I made that last year to you and the year before. If I was a team that didn't have a DH, then yeah, I could mix in some DH days for Soto, maybe more than others. But in terms of how he can play right field, he can still do it, like you said, I think for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So Stanton being on this roster should have no impact on your decision to re-sign Juan Soto. In fact, I think it is like sacrilegious to include Giancarlo Stanton as any kind of factor in deciding if you're going to keep a generational talent like Juan Soto. Right. That's ridiculous.
And there's so many outfielders, as Yankee fans know, just that are...
Dominguez, Spencer Jones.
Spencer Jones. I mean, there's a ton of guys.
But that's not a reason to not sign Soto.
I'm not saying it's not a reason. I'm just saying it's a reason for when Giancarlo Stanton is no longer retired, if Juan Soto is like, I'm fine just DHing.
Right.
You're not, theoretically, especially if these guys pan out, Dominguez and Spencer Jones and others, you don't have to play him in the outfield.
By the way, you could also, I'll throw this at you, he could also become a first baseman.
Yep.
Isn't that what happened to Bryce Harper already?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it about positions, especially ones that are going to change over the next few years. Just think about the player. The player is a great player who's not even in the prime of his career. If you don't re-sign him and you're the New York Yankees, or you don't try to sign him as much as you can and you're the New York Mets, you're doing a disservice to your fans. Stop trying to convince yourself. I don't care who you are or what team you root for. Don't try to convince yourself you don't want Juan Soto because you're lying to yourself. Hmm. Speaking of liars, Bad Tiki joins us in just a couple of minutes. A little after 4:36 here on The Fan, Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. We'll get to the Giants in a few minutes. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo list coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll make our pick on tonight's NFL game, which as a Jet fan, we can have rooting interest in. You know, we're sort of in the hunt. So when you're sort of in the hunt, you can look at individual games and say, hey, this will benefit me if this team wins. More on that a little bit later on. But Bad TQ joins us every Thursday right around 4:30. It's brought to you by Security Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the program.
My fellow Americans, in this time of uncertainty, we stand at a crossroads where our unity is more vital than ever. As we face challenges that test our resolve, let us remember that our strength as a nation comes from our ability to stand together, hand in hand, across all backgrounds, beliefs, and regions. Our history has shown that when we join in common purpose, we overcome obstacles that seemed insurmountable. Now, as always, unity is our compass, guiding us toward hope, resilience, and progress.
Wow.
Let us move forward, not as divided individuals, but as one American people, ready to face any challenge with courage and compassion. United, there is nothing we cannot achieve.
Wow. Huh. Wow, Bad Tiki. Thank you for that. I think a lot of people needed to hear that.
Regular Tiki, that's a great question. I'm deeply moved to know those words resonated. We're all in this together, and I'm here to support each and every American as we move forward with hope and strength. Bad Tiki is very strong, therefore behind me, we shall all be strong and muscular and very tall. Bad Tiki, the ultimate uniter. God bless Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki can heal America.
Bad Tiki, you're coming off very presidential today, I must admit. I think everybody agrees the country needs to heal and unite. I think we're all with you on that. But what issues are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about Juan Soto. Mets fans, you are not getting Mr. Wonderful. He will never play in Queens. He will never wear ugly orange and blue. Get over it. You have Grimace. Enjoy that purple furry fetish monster. Plus, why would you want to sign Juan Soto anyway? He's having a great career. Why would you want to throw a wrench in the career of a historic superstar? Stop trying to ruin Juan's life. He's a good man. Let him be.
This is great news for Yankee fans. But Bantiki, I thought you were uniting the country. What happened to that?
This is how I am uniting the country chunk style. Yankees fans should console Mets fans in their time of need. Mets fans should also give Yankees fans a hug because the Yankees also have no shot at signing the great Juan Soto. Why would Juan Soto come back to the Bronx? So he can carry the unfundamental Yankees all October long just to run themselves out of the postseason again. The Yankees and Mets fans need each other now more than ever. Both franchises will whiff on Soto and spiral into obscurity for years to come. My man Scott ain't no slouch. Scott gets paid and Bad Tiki gets paid, sucker.
Wait, hold on, Bad Tiki. You know Scott Boras?
Big Scotty B, Boris the Explorer, Boris Saurus Rex. Yeah, we go way back. We met in Big Bucks County. The Bo Rascal and I are very good friends. He's partly responsible for my immeasurable wealth. I was always rich, but when I met Scott, I got the Bo raise, if you know what I mean. Boris Bucks for Bad Tiki. I hired him as my agent in the 90s. I call it the Boris touch because when Scotty Dollars is involved, Bad Tiki strikes gold.
Okay, Bad Tiki, if Soto's not going to stay in New York and you seem to know it all, where is he going?
Great question, Marash. He's going where everyone goes. He's going back to Cali Cali. The chosen Juan is going to be a Dodger. Oh. Everyone knows that. Sources tell me he's going to get $2 billion in deferred payments until 2090. And the champs aren't done. The Dodgers are also looking to sign Pete Alonso.
That doesn't even make any sense, Bad Tiki. They have Freddie Freeman at first base. What are you talking about?
Pete is open to sitting on the bench for the Dodgers. He's a real team player. He will also have deferred payments for his $900 million deal through 2030. It's a new era in baseball. Bad Tiki and the Boris money machine. Bad Tiki spending in the TT cheddar, baby.
Bad Tiki. None of that sounds accurate. None of that sounds accurate at all. How can we trust anything you say?
Oh, yes, regular Tiki, a very good question. Remember last week when I told you I unleashed the very evil, unlucky demon spirit of Fat Joe on New York? And his dark demon magic cost the Yankees the World Series. Well, no one ever captured him and sent him back to the demon spirit world. I've heard he's been wreaking havoc ever since.
Fat Joe is still on the loose, Bad Tiki?
That's right, Evan. Joey Crack is not only still at large, he's lending his support to all of my ops and destroying them from within. In fact, I think Joey has a message for you guys.
What?
Hey, guys, I'm a huge fan. I love this show, and I wish you guys many, many, many years of success and great memories. I know you guys will dominate the airwaves for generations to come. Such a legendary station like WFAN surely will stand the test of time and never shut down right after AI Fat Joe makes an appearance. Evan, I wanted you to know I've signed a blood oath agreement to perform at your next wedding anniversary.
Oh,
yo, Tiki, I see you, Tiki. I've also agreed to RSVP at your next birthday party. I'd also like to announce I will be appearing as Santa Claus at the Thanksgiving Day parade this year. I hope you didn't have big plans for the holidays because I just canceled all that. Really looking forward to seeing you guys, and let's go New York Yankees.
Thanks, Fat Joe. Wow, that was really nice of him to take the time to curse all of you and possibly destroy your entire lives. Well, guys, now I have to go. Fat Joe and I are getting on a plane to go watch our Giants play the Panthers in Germany.
Oh, God.
Don't worry, Sean. We'll make sure you move down a few spots in the draft after this one. Bye, losers. We from New York. Bad Tiki out.
All right. Thank you very much, Bad Tiki.
Hey, I, Fat Joe. Jeez.
Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber and AI Fat Joe, they're real people with their own thoughts. That was AI, and they're entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment.
Mm, so he's going to your wedding anniversary.
That's what you took out of it. I took a few things out of that. Well, thank you, Bad Tiki. Every Thursday right around 4:30.
here on The Fan. So something happened on your broadcast on Sunday, and it was interesting. And I don't even know if you heard it because there was such amazing moments happening in the game.
Yeah, we were oohing and aahing over Saquon jumping backwards over a defender.
That was it. It was an incredible moment. Everyone's still talking about the play. And your partner, one of the McCourties, I think it's Jason, made a comment. And the comment stuck with me. And I want to play it for anyone who missed it because I don't know if he was being a jerk or if he was expressing like this truth that most of us, our compadres here in New York as Giant fans, don't want to admit. So again, Tiki's on the call, Andrew Catalan's on the call, Jason McCourty's on the call, and Saquon Barkley did some like crazy stuff on the field with the 360 and the turn and the jump and all that crap so he could get a few extra yards, overrated in my opinion. And listen to what Jason McCourty said.
Think to do that.
Poor Giants fans that are just at home watching as Saquon Barkley is just doing what he does.
All of a sudden, in the middle of that, says poor Giant fans. Do you think Giant fans were suffering during that play?
No, but I think they struggle when he has success.
Do they?
Yeah, because it's this was the problem when he left. Because you knew he'd do this. You knew he'd go somewhere else and be better. And he is, I said this on Monday, he's in a better spot for him.
Yeah, no question
they
for
have
him.
Talent all over that roster, two great wide receivers, a really good quarterback in Jalen Hurts, and an offensive line that even though it lost some players, and Jordan Mailata is on short-term IR, but he'll be, even without him, Fred Johnson's played great at left tackle. And you lose Travis Kelce, and you got Cam Jurgens playing pretty well at center. And so Saquon, like, he's going to rush for 1,500 yards. And who knows how many touchdowns he's going to score.
He's actually only 7 yards away from his rushing total of last year.
Yes.
And he's played in 6 fewer games.
Yes.
So yes.
Like, you knew he was going to have this kind of year. It's why you hated him going to the Eagles, because they were already good.
Yeah, I think that, Sean, were you bothered when you saw this?
No, I've seen him do a million amazing things in a Giant.
No. He's talking about what Jason said.
No, I'm not bothered by it. Yeah. I have my own problems here. I will only get bothered, and Jason will be right on this, if Saquon Barkley is rushing his way to a Super Bowl MVP and the Eagles are winning.
Yes.
It's not going to bother me that he's having an amazing season and he went backwards versus the Jaguars.
By the way, we always knew this.
Right.
When he went, if he would have went to the Texans, it would have been the same thing.
Nobody's denying his amazing talent.
Is crushing it down there. Right. So it's like, it's hard to like evaluate how you actually feel about him because you loved him when he was here and now you can't even appreciate him because he's an Eagle.
Right. Well, I think that's the position that I know I said this about Tommy earlier. I'm going to say it about you too. I think you're being dishonest with the audience because I know that you supported letting him go. That's not the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand the cap ramifications, the age, how good Tyrone Tracy looks, like all that, completely fair game. It's an issue that isn't as square as don't you miss Saquon Barkley. But in that moment, you could hear it in Tiki's voice on the call.
Right.
You were like freaking out.
Right.
As you should. It was an amazing play.
A little overrated, but amazing play. Who even, no, it's not even... He got a first down.
He did.
Which is all that matters.
There's a few
but who years. Thinks to do that?
No, that is true. Did you ever think to do that on the
no,
field?
No, and that was my point. I'm like, who even thinks to do that?
It was an incredible play that you saw, that we all saw it. When he says, Giant fans must be thinking, and you're a Giant fan watching this, clearly rooting for Jacksonville, you can't tell me you weren't bothered by it.
I can't stress this enough. You know what I'm bothered by? When a play like that happens and Giants fans go, this is why you had to resign.
No, it's not why.
Yeah.
The thing that as Giant fans we should be saying to ourselves is, why couldn't we have built a team like this around Saquon?
And I think the easy answer is because we used a second overall pick on Saquon.
I mean, maybe. Maybe.
And that's, I think, always been the frustrating part and unfair to Saquon.
Right.
It was not Saquon's fault that he got drafted second overall.
Right. He was the second round talent.
Right. It is not.
Or second pick talent.
Right. It's not his fault that he was drafted second overall to a team that could not afford to take a running back of his talent second overall and thus could not use that to build what they needed to build around him. I don't blame Saquon for that. But after watching Saquon's career here, what he's doing in Philly, and I understand he's doing things that we haven't seen since his rookie year, we saw a lot of amazement, which is why so many Giant fans fell in love with him. But there is a side to some negatives with Saquon Barkley that we've only seen once in the Atlanta game, and maybe they'll poke their head out over 3 years in Philly. We'll see. Injury prone, drop passes, whiffed pass protection blocks. We got incredibly frustrated with those moments because he can't. You needed him to be the perfect player when he was taken second overall, and he had a lot of perfect moments, but he wasn't the perfect player, which is why you can't pay him long term. So the benefits and the positives will be outweighed there with Philly, with a great team. The negatives of Saquon were outshined here because he needed to do it all, and it was unfair to him.
Right.
Well, I think that was succinct. Good for you.
That was well said. I think the other issue is that let's play the alternate universe game. Let's say they kept Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. They re-signed him. They brought him back.
He wouldn't be doing this stuff.
Exactly.
And we'd be 2-7 probably.
Well, that's the other thing. So where are the Giants? They brought him back.
They're in a worse cap situation than they are.
Forget even the cap situation.
But they would be.
You're right. But I'm going to give you, they still trade for Brian Burns. Everything's the same outside of they don't sign Devin Singletary. Mm-hmm. Let's say they even still draft Tyrone Tracy. He was a 5th-round pick. Okay. Where are the Giants? Are they 2-7 or are they better?
Probably 2-7.
Are they just, what do you think?
Well, maybe they're 3-6.
3-6. So
maybe they win a game.
So then what the heck are we talking about then, McCourty?
Well, let's...
Even if they kept them then,
I think what Jason's talking about, because he wasn't doing it out of malice. He's just doing it out of, man, if I had this guy and now I don't have this guy and I have to watch him do this for somebody else, it's like, that should be my guy.
No,
that's what he's talking about.
It sucks. Like, I agree with that. And I agree in the moment, I would be upset. But then when I think about it and I say, okay, what did my team do wrong? Let's say we brought him back. Well, is my team any different? And the answer is not really. Well, and like you said, I'm in a worse cap situation.
I think the challenge is that the Giants thought they were a running back away when they drafted him. The Giants are not a running back, whoever it is, in this case Saquon. They're not a Saquon away from being good. And so, like, you can kind of pine for the days where he was exciting you. He wasn't going to help the Giants win this year.
Well, that's the ultimate answer, because some of the things I see is, boy, can you believe Giant fans didn't want him back? Well, it's not about wanting him back. It's about, would the Giants
rather win?
Well, would the Giants be any different if he was back?
Yeah, and the Giants want to win. The Giant fan wants to win. The Giant organization wants to win. And I don't know if Saquon's helping you do that.
Well, if your opinion is true, and I kind of lean towards it, that they'd still be 2-7, then the answer is no. Then the answer is, great, he would have been back. They would have sold the jerseys. But if they're still 2-7, what the hell would have been the point?
The alternate universe I was thinking of is not that one. It's if they had paid Barkley instead of Daniel Jones, where would this team be?
Tommy?
And that's maybe where Jason was going with that.
You
know what I mean?
I don't think he was thinking about that.
That was two years ago.
It's too deep into the Giant weed for... Jason to be worried about.
It's also like
Giant weed also legalized now.
Just not in Florida. I saw they would not pass that.
Right.
Which I was surprised about. I texted my sister and said, what's up with you people? Like, what's going on down there? But
I got glaucoma.
That's a different.
You can probably still get it medicinally.
I'm sure you can. That's a very different
corner.
that's the easiest way to get it. That Daniel Jones, would I pay him? And we actually did this a few weeks ago. Like, we played that game of, if they don't re-sign Daniel Jones and they re-sign Saquon to a long-term deal and they tag DJ, where would we be right now?
Yeah. Where would you be quarterback-wise?
Well, that's the thing. So Saquon would still be here. Great. They would have clearly moved on from DJ after last year. And then who would their quarterback be? Like, the answer wasn't really fulfilling, because if they drafted a quarterback, then there's no Malik Neighbors.
No, they would have moved on from Daniel Jones the year before.
No, they would have tagged him.
I doubt it.
If they tagged him, they would not have had the cap room to sign Saquon. That was the other part. It was one or the other.
So then they let him go after making the postseason?
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird, convoluted...
Yeah. It's why they were in no man's land. And people, conveniently forget it. But they were in no man's land.
Well, it's why they ultimately made the right decision. Because they kept Jones here to see, all right, let's see if we can build off of making the postseason. We'll tag Saquon so he's still here too, and we could kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, the answer isn't Daniel Jones. I don't think they would have had the answer at quarterback in the last 2 years. And they decided to let a 28-year-old running back walk away.
Yep.
And by the way, they drafted a running back in the 5th round who looks pretty freaking good. So, re-signing Saquon this past year, so it's two different things. But this past year doesn't make a difference. And if you go back a year earlier, it just creates many more questions on how they would have filled the position.
Yeah.
And who the
quarterback position. It fills there's a big void. And I'm trying to think who was free then. Sam Darnold, maybe. Who was, seriously, who was
Jacoby Brissett.
There wasn't a ton of great free agents.
Or they would have drafted late in the first round.
Exactly. They weren't in position to draft anybody.
Yeah.
But very rarely are you getting Lamar Jackson at 30. Right? The only reason he went at 30 is because most of these knucklehead, scouts thought he was a running back.
Yeah.
And he literally said that about him.
Insert Bill Polian here.
Honestly, the real answer to, if we're being fair about how we felt at the time, was never to move on from Daniel Jones. It was to tag Daniel Jones. And I get your point about the cap and how complicated it would have been, but it wouldn't have committed to him for more than 1 year, and you would have said, you had a great year, go do it again. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it again. Assuming everything plays out the same way, this past offseason would have been the clear, okay, we need to find a quarterback. And they would have had multiple options. They could have gone veteran with a guy like Kirk Cousins, or they would have drafted somebody. Maybe they would have pushed it over the line to draft Drake May and make the trade with New England. Maybe they would have just taken J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix. So I think after 2 years ago, they were always going to keep Jones because he had a good enough year. Mm-hmm. But this past year, the more recent offseason, keeping Saquon Barkley, as much as we talked about it and he was dead to you for a while, wouldn't have changed the current fortunes of this team.
It didn't make
wouldn't
sense.
Have made any difference.
It didn't make sense, and it's proven that it wouldn't have made sense.
No question.
They could lose every game the rest of the year, and the Eagles could have this magical year where they win the division. It was still the right process to let Saquon walk for this organization. Agreed. And you just have to deal with the highlights with Philly as they come. It is what it is.
Do you agree with that, Tommy?
No.
Not 2 years ago. I'm talking about last year.
Last year, I can't argue it at all. Well, Joe Shane was right. But
that's all we're talking about.
I know. I'm just...
But it gets more convoluted when you go to 2 years ago.
But like, I just can't help but think that...
It gets convoluted because they couldn't keep both.
I know, but I just can't help but think that we could be the Eagles right now.
How's that?
They picked Hurts in the second round. They traded for Brown. They drafted Smith.
Hold on. Their left tackle is a five-time Pro Bowler and a three-time All-Pro and probably a Hall of Famer in Lane Johnson. Their left guard is good as well. Lane's not even their left tackle.
He's their right tackle.
Maialata is their left tackle, who's a hell of a good player who just started starting last year. They had Jason Kelce a year ago. We're nowhere near where they are. They have A.J. Brown
not
and Devontae Smith, who were two of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. They have a tight end who's filling in for their starting tight end, Dallas Goedert, and Calcaterra, who's amazing out of nowhere. Because he has a familiarity with Jalen Hurts, right? We're nowhere close to where they are.
And you know what the other problem is? I'm going to call him out.
What's that?
I'm going to call out Tommy. Tommy was like the biggest Daniel Jones fan. Mm. He would open shows with, Daniel Jones is the future and leading him to a Super Bowl. 888-808-1019. Then there was another open where he's like, Daniel Jones is better than Aaron Rodgers, and I'm just copying Tiki Barber because he said it once.
I mean, there was a moment where Daniel Jones felt like he could have, that was his ceiling was going to be high.
No, I agree. That's why the idea, I think it is the definition, especially from you, no offense, Tommy, is the ultimate revisionist history.
Well, it's not revisionist
that they should have moved on.
You just need to admit you're wrong.
Well,
I've admitted I was wrong on Daniel Jones.
Oh, no.
I love the kid. I think he's an awesome leader. He works his ass off, but there's just an it he doesn't have.
I completely agree. I think it's revisionist history to say they should have moved on from him after they beat the Vikings in the playoffs.
You couldn't.
Because you didn't want to do it, bro.
No, I'm just frustrated.
You didn't want to do it.
I'm also just frustrated, too, with the organization.
You have every right to be frustrated, but I believe in criticizing moves. I do it all the time. But we have to be fair about what the tone in this city was after that year.
Right.
If they had let him go to free agency and not re-signed him, and I don't know what they would have done at quarterback because there's no great alternative. Oh, my God.
Not that year.
I can only speak for myself, but I think a lot of Giant fans, they called the station, Twitter, were upset that the Giants gave Daniel Jones that contract.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have tagged him.
Okay.
But saying I would have let him go when you were picking 24th in the draft, you know who the next quarterback was taken after 24? I'm looking at it right now. It was Will Levis. Would you have been good with that?
No, thank you.
Would that have excited you?
No.
No, thank you.
Okay. I'm just saying.
He has been benched for...
Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph.
No, I know.
Oh, we could have traded for Mason Rudolph.
No, thank you.
Or you could have traded up for Bryce Young. Like, you never know.
No, thank you.
No, but I'm just giving you what that draft was.
Yeah.
I think that every Eagle fan, because I know you guys are voyeuristic and you're listening right now, as much as you want to make fun of the Giant fans, they had to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be any better if they had kept them. So enjoy your player. Watch all the spin moves. We'll see if you win anything. You won't, because the Commanders have taken this division. We all know that. And good luck the rest of the way.
And I'll be sitting here waiting on Instagram for that elimination day. I'll be sitting here waiting.
I know you are. I respect that. By the way, Commanders-Eagles, Thursday Night Football in a couple weeks. How awesome is that going to be? That's going to be some badass football. We'll get to tonight's game coming up a little bit later on. Sean's got a Cinco in a few minutes. And more of your calls at 888-808-1019.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.